With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Diggs. G-I-G-G-S. Diggs. G-I-G-G-S. No. Rodrick.
Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
It's opinion. I respect your opinion. Maybe in your opinion, Messi is better than me. But in my mind, I'm better than him. I do it again.
Everything is on me, gon' back it up. Matter what, told you I'ma do me. Why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck. Country heart, I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Like scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep me real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. Only buy a car, hard car, car, so you tat it up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up.
No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up,
I tell you what, that is still a great intro song. Might be one of the last times we hear that song. You know, this season could be the last season of that as an intro song. But it's served us well. It's a good one. But we are here, Rodri Giggs on Football. It is Thursday, the 4th of April. But it's not as we record it. We record it on Monday because me and Rodri are away. So if you're in the live chat chirping away, you're talking to no one. But... So there's no Super Six update and stuff like that because it's still in progress. So I'm delighted as ever.
No. There's a new one. There's a new one. What about Saturdays?
Oh, I haven't even looked. I probably got at least 20 points. I would have thought.
Well, I'll tell you now. You got six.
Is that all? Shocking.
Yeah. I got nine. So
no, there we go. I had like fallen off a cliff. I have
again, just more points. I know it's free, it's just more points going ahead. But no, I understand you don't want to talk about or I don't remember or I don't know, but whatever. Yeah, there's another one this week because we'll have to talk about
that's Tuesday,
the midweek games, won't we? Next week, as well as the weekend games. So.
Yeah, so what we could do is we'll just do some predictions for Saturday's Premier League games because they'll be in the Super Six, won't they? So we'll just do them at the end. But yeah, I'm joined as ever by Rodri Giggs, ex professional footballer at a variety of Welsh League clubs, Manchester clubs. How are you, my friend? You good?
Yeah, come on, mate. Yeah,
you? Loving the bank holiday. mate. Yeah, loving it, mate. Easter.
Well, I'm off now for 2 weeks, so
yeah,
it's
off on holiday. The rest of it
is party time.
Party time indeed, mate. Party time indeed. It's a bank holiday Monday. Cut the blue birds.
A football show. I'll wear, you know, I haven't worn my Senegal top yet. So, I'm putting on a few pounds. So, might not be able to get on it soon.
Yeah. Skin tight. Be like one of those skin tight ones that the Cameroon players used to wear on it. There you go. Now, we might, you never know what football tops we might have on in the future. Can't discuss that possibly at the moment.
Because think about that. Yeah, it's been homage and retro kit. Yeah,
we can't fully discuss it yet because it's not quite over the line, but it should be over the line over the next few days. Certainly by I think the end of this month we'll have.
Yeah, it's a friend of my son, lad who lives on his street, Mamadou, is Senegalese family, and his dad got me and my lad these tops. So.
Nice. I like a good Puma kit as well, mate. So interesting. Yeah, I like a bit of retro kits, mate, as well. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll get them soon, hopefully. But let's talk about the football, mate. Let's start with your team because Jesus, it's mad, mate. Right? As good as they played against Liverpool, the fight, the aggression, the passion. The work rate, everything which they showed against Liverpool, they didn't show against Brentford. And they made Brentford look like 1970s Brazil, mate. They really did. Brentford, just the way they're like popping it out, just allowed to just walk out of defence. Embarrassing, I thought. I thought it was really, really poor. As poor as I can remember United playing in a one-off game.
Yeah, it's just... That's what it's been like, mate. So inconsistent. You don't know which team you're gonna get. You know, it's very rare this year or this season that they put 90 minutes together. So, it's, you know, so many players that are bad. But I'm taking a very dislike to Bruno Fernandes and how he's playing. Chasing about in that midfield and leaving that midfield just open. It's he's the catalyst for it. Like chasing down a keeper. Why?
Yeah. Funny enough.
I'm sure one of them starts from the goal. He chases down a keeper, passes round him, and he's out of midfield. The midfield's a big gap, and they play around and they come up going up for the other end and score. Rashford. Oh my God! McTominay, the ball. I don't think he had touched the ball.
Well, McTominay, when you play him as the if you've got him and Bruno in the same team, it's just you may as well just put Manu in there literally on his own because he's so isolated. Because McTominay is just whatever Bruno goes, and it's weird, right? It looks like a tactical decision that Bruno is the trigger for the press. So when Bruno goes, Højlund's supposed to go, the wingers are supposed to go, except when Bruno goes, Højlund will go, but then the wingers, Rashford cheats all the time.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, it's just a massive gap. And then former United Academy graduate, John O'Kane, has been banging this drum probably for most of this season, being saying that the Bruno is a big part of the structural problem in the midfield of United because he just chases everything. And I think, like I've said to you before, if they're going to play McTominay, would it not be better to play McTominay in the sort of 10 and Bruno as the deeper one, and then he can press and chase in the midfield and you don't leave a huge gap to be played through all the time? But for whatever reason, that doesn't happen. And it just, I agree with you, mate, it was so simple. And I believe that if he's not going to play Bruno either on the right or deep, Mason Mount's got to be, as he gets fit, surely you have to consider whether Mount would be a better option for the team as a whole, even if it's just for a few games. Because that is, United's midfield, all season, the teams just walk through it. And you're not talking like Man City, Liverpool, you know, Chelsea's or whatever in the world, every single team they play just walks through their midfield. And their attack is like up. Their defense is deep because they, when Martinez doesn't play, they got no one who can, they can't press within the defensive structure. So you just have this huge gap. The midfielders go wandering and Kobbie Mainoo is just left there on his own against like 4-on-1. And it's like, doesn't matter how good he is. What's he supposed to do in that structure? That's a structural problem that's caused by either the manager's tactics or the likes of Bruno, Rashford, whoever, doing their own thing and not sticking to the principles that the manager wants them to do. And if they're not sticking to those principles, then he should pull them off. Do you see what I mean? Like, you can't have it both ways. Either it's his problem, it's his fault because that's the way he's telling them to play, or they're not listening to the way he wants to play, doing their own thing. So he should sort that out.
I don't see him. I'm been against it, but I don't see him being there next year, the manager, coach, to be honest. I just don't see it.
I thought that looked like a team.
What I'm hearing, whispers and things that you hear, I just don't see it. Especially with the people that are on board now. And yeah, I just don't see it.
So the interesting thing for me is, I still think, and I said this, I've been quite consistent all season, is like these, like Roy Keane said, mate, these players, the vast majority of them, have thrown manager after manager after manager after under the bus. And to me, that Brentford game, for the first time this season, I think, I've got to be fair, the first time this season, I thought that looked like a team of players who think that they're going to outlast this manager, and they did, like, they didn't play for him, which is weird when you consider that in Liverpool, in the Liverpool game, they looked like they would run through a brick wall for him. And for,
it's what they've been like all the time, but it's inconsistency. It's just
do you think it's anything to do with the international break, mate? Maybe a few of them have had a little conversation.
Possibly. A lot of traveling. So then they've gone down to the ground on the day, which is unusual. So all possibilities, but it's just excuses, isn't it, at the end of the day. Everyone's been there. All their players have been away, I'm sure. And, you know, it happens, the Premier League. They've experienced players, they've dealt with stuff before. It's just excuses at the end of the day.
And it's Do you think that poor show,
and it's the same players.
Those England players have probably had the nod off Gareth Southgate to say, I'll be there in the summer, my boys. So, you know, don't worry about it. Just play your football. When I come in the summer, I'll sort you out. You'd be playing week in, week out, beautiful football, the South Gateway.
What, losing? Okay.
We'll see.
We'll see what? What's he won?
No, I'm telling you, we'll see. I bet you he's Man United. I bet you he's the Man United manager by the end.
I'll bet you he's not.
It'll be interesting how the fans take it if he was, because I think that...
It won't happen, mate. He's already put the feelers out, and it's been put out very sharply. It was a bad reaction to it. He's not won a tap.
He's not a manager material,
in my opinion. It's just not.
Do you think... Right, let me ask you another question. Let's go.
Went to Middlesbrough, did okay, but ended up getting sacked. Went to England, been in multiple times where he should have won that cup, and he didn't, because he didn't want to take risks. When you're a Manchester United manager, you need to be able to take risks at certain points, and he doesn't.
He also got England relegated from the Nations League. People forget that.
There you go.
So here's another, like, I want to go, let's go at it a different way, right?
And he's just lost and drew at home his last two games. So what talk about here? Winners so then, win.
Yeah.
Jose Mourinho won. Now Poch, loser. That's why he's not. No, what's he won? Carling Cup, great. No, he couldn't win that. Got to be at Liverpool. So there's winners and there's not.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to a different way then. Let's say, right, Ineos, at the end of the season, say, I don't know, say Man United miss out on Champions League, but they win the FA Cup, right? hypothetically, Ineos sit him down at the end of the season, they say, right, Eric, a lot of the problems which you've had to deal with this year have not been down to you. We are very concerned about X, Y, and Z within the team structure, blah, blah, blah. You can get rid of who you want to get rid of, and we'll give you money as best we can to get a player you want in. We'll work with you. You've got the remainder of your contract, which is one season, to show us why you should be the Manchester United manager.
He's only got one left.
Do you believe that he could do it? Do you believe he could still turn it around if he was given the tool, like he was given the license to get rid of whoever he wants, whether that's Rashford, whether whoever, and get in at least a portion of the as best they can, the players he wants? Do you think he has got the capabilities and the mentality to turn it around at United and get them challenging again?
Or no, they've still got so many bad players, so many players that not necessarily bad, but just bad for his system.
You think there's too many you'd have to get out and in,
yeah,
for it to be,
yeah, there. Yeah. So should have got rid of Harry Maguire, Scott McTominay last year. Yeah. There's two less that you don't have to get out. Then you've got to get Casemiro out. You've got to either get Rashford or Fernandes out, one of them two. Martial leaves, then you've got to probably get it. Does Wan-Bissaka leave? Does he go? Malacias, he's only been here 2 minutes, but does he stay? Does he got this? Yeah, you're talking about 8, 9, 10 players.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it?
Lindelof, he's been there a while now. Varane, he's coming to the end. What happens with him now?
If they change the manager, they've still got to get rid of those players.
Eriksen, no. Amrabat, he's on loan, so he's going.
I'd say Casemiro, probably touch and go, whether he goes as well. But then, if regardless of the manager situation, those players will still be going, or should be going. So, should Ineos almost work their way down, sort out the system off the pitch, get rid of the players they want to get rid of, get who they kind of get a few in, and let him just see out his contract, which is his one season, and then make the decision? Or do you think they make the decision now and kind of...
It all depends, mate. It's all depending on how the season ends. Does he get in the Champions League spot? Because it's probably 80-odd% now I'm hearing that the fifth place qualifying for the Champions League spot. So if you don't get fifth and you get sixth, or seventh, and doesn't get an FA Cup. Come on, mate. Come on.
But then on the other hand, mate,
injuries or not, he's still had a lot of money, and some of them players have been not good.
Mm. But then some of them have been
not played. You know, Martinez. He's only shining light, really. It's Højlund. He looks like he's going to be a really good player because he's coming to a shit start, but. You know, he's come through it and now he looks dangerous.
But then Martinez, mate, this has been quality. Like, yeah, he obviously had a bad injury.
Yeah, played on it, made it worse when, you know.
Yeah, that sounds like it's down to the medical staff. They got rid of that. Exactly. They got rid of those medical staff as well.
Yeah, we're right, so. Because he shouldn't be playing if that's the case.
They shouldn't have rushed him back. Yeah, so no. United are 8 points off Spurs in fifth with, what is, how many games is there left? Probably, what was it? How many games is left, is there?
Eight, nine.
So, like, there's plenty of games to play, but what we can probably say with relatively safe is that United won't win every game. No. Like, they might go on a little run where they win a few.
Well, we've got Chelsea-Liverpool next game, two games. Chelsea away, Liverpool at home. So they could easily lose them too.
Yeah, they could. They have a recent record that's pretty good against Chelsea, and I think the way Chelsea play probably suits United. Liverpool will want revenge, and I think that could be a painful watch, I've got to be honest. But then with Martinez back, and he mentioned Luke Shaw's going to be back, and
Mason. Oh, we've got to play Newcastle, we've got to play Arsenal, we've got to play Brighton as well. All games that even Crystal Palace away, difficult at the minute. Newcastle at home, Bournemouth away.
Yeah, Burnley are going to be fighting for relegation. Like, they're not going to roll over.
The only thing with that is it's Old Trafford, so I don't see a worry with that.
Yeah, it's just do you know, just going back to the structure of the midfield, like United are average before Saturday, before the game against Brentford Saturday night, United on average have conceded, I think it's something like 15 shots per game. Like, that is, like, as a stat, is mental, mate, to concede 15 shots on average per game. Like, the law of averages says, if you concede 15 shots against the good, like, the big teams or the teams with a big striker, you're going to concede a lot of goals. And I think on another day, Brentford score 3, 4, 5 on Saturday night. Like, their finishing was a bit off. On another day, those chances are taken. So, yeah, I think it's a problem, mate. To me, though, I look around and I think there's not an obvious replacement for him.
Maybe. That's the problem. Lost 11 games as well. 11 games.
Yeah. But then, do you know what's mental, mate? His win percentage is still one of the highest for United managers since Fergie. It's like 66% or something, which is
mental. That's good. Yeah, but Fergie had a slow start, didn't he?
No, since Fergie, out of all the United managers, Ten Hag's win percentage is, like, I think it's either the highest or the second highest or something. Like, it's still really quite high considering.
Yeah, like, you can't have many more than performances, though.
It was so bad. But then, so here's, like, I looked at that and I was thinking as I was watching it, mate, I was thinking, right, next game they play Chelsea. Rashford's on the bench for me and Ahmad's playing. Bruno's on the bench for me and Mount is playing. McTominay's on the bench and Casemiro or Amrabat. I'd play fucking Amrabat and Casemiro together with Mainoo slightly further forward, I would. And just tell Amrabat to sit, tell Casemiro to be busy and let Mainoo be
there. I still think Mason Mount's better in the middle.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But, like, just as a structure point of view, I'd say against Liverpool.
Get your structure in now. Get him in there now.
Yeah, in the 10.
Put Fernandes out there on the left.
So would you give Ahmad a start against Chelsea?
No.
So you put Bruno on the left for...
I need something that's going to come on and make a difference. I know you can do that off the bench.
Okay. So you'd say Bruno on the left for Rashford. Mount in the 10 and Garnacho on the right.
Yeah.
Or you could put Bruno on the right.
Give Anthony a go. Put Garnacho on the left and put Anthony on the right.
I thought Anthony looked quite relatively busy.
He's working on things and, you know.
And do you know what I've noticed since he came back, the most recent time he's come back, when he gets the ball, he's driving at the fullback and trying to beat him on the outside more. And I think he's quite quick. He's clearly skillful. Like, I think with him, I don't know what it is. Like, it's the over-reliance on cutting into his left. But then Ian Robin did that for years, mate. It was all left foot. Like, if you can do it well, you can do it. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think Bobby deserves a start or a chance. I thought Garnacho didn't do a great deal. But, he's young, mate, so he's going to be in and out. You know, a few games good, few games average. But I just think they've got to change it up. They've got to give the likes of Mount, Antony, Ahmad, like Amrabat, Casemiro, whoever. Like, they've got to give some of these players a go. Eriksen, because they've got no control in the midfield. The one thing you could say with Eriksen in the midfield is he gives you a bit of control. So maybe him and Mainoo, I don't know.
But you use the legs.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think Mainoo is not the quickest, is he? So, like, against Liverpool, which is not the next game, but I would play Amrabat, Casemiro, and Mainoo in the middle. And I would give Mainoo a little bit more license to push on, just to make him structurally a bit more. Because Liverpool, can you imagine Liverpool played against that performance?
They could have easily been 3 or 4 up at Old Trafford easily. So it could easily be 6-0 on Sunday.
Well, this is the thing. If United were to lose heavily, like, you know, 4-5-0 to Chelsea and Liverpool now, back-to-back.
Yeah, that seal his coffin, that.
Yeah, especially after the losing 7-0 to Liverpool last year. If he was to lose heavily at Old Trafford to them, I think that's probably a problem which he can't come back from. Do you think United get fifth, mate, just quickly?
No.
Okay. Do you think they win the FA Cup?
50-50 on that. They'll have a chance, won't they? Because I'm sure they'll get to the final.
They should. Coventry, I watched Coventry today, actually. And
see how City turn up against Chelsea.
Yeah.
If it's United City again. Yeah.
But then on the other hand, United have got a very good record, recent record against Chelsea, like I said. And I think on that big pitch against Chelsea, that would suit them.
We'd rather play Chelsea against them than City, 100%.
Of course. So the one thing I say about Coventry, mate, just if we talk, I know realistically United should win, etc., blah, 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 blah. But just on, in terms of how Coventry play, you know, they will be in United's face and they will try and put them under pressure. What they do have is they have a striker who is bang in form. He's the leading scorer in all the divisions since Christmas. And, you know, as you know, mate, when a striker's in form, just got a habit of everything he touches ends up in the net. And Ellis Sims is banging form. They got Hadji Wright, had a goal disallowed today. Very, very good. They got a couple of players where if United go into it with a poor attitude, thinking they're going to walk it, they have got one or two players who could cause them a few problems. So they will need to be at it. But, of course, they should ultimately... United should win. So that's what it is. Let's talk about some of the other Premier League games over the weekend. There was goals galore, mate, wasn't it, over the weekend? Like, it was just goals everywhere in the Premier League. It was quite mental. Mate, actually, just speak to me about Calvin Phillips, right? Calvin Phillips has had another nightmare, conceded a penalty, which I didn't think was actually a penalty, hasn't played particularly well. West Ham have lost the game. And when he's getting on the bus, so you're talking like an hour or two after the game is finished, some fans have stayed behind with the sole intent to shout abuse at him. They were shouting he's useless and giving him shit. So as he's gone on the bus, he's just giving him the old middle finger. And then everyone's got their hand like, oh my God, how can he do that? We should not be doing that. His wages, it's this, it's that. What I don't understand, right, is these grown men will go on their social medias, will be in the crowds, and they'll shout abuse at these guys. And then when they react, they're human beings. He's clearly having a tough time at the moment. He's been dropped from England. He's not playing very well. Hasn't played much over the last couple of years. He hasn't, like, gone off. He hasn't been violent. He hasn't. He's just, you know, just fuck off, basically. I don't understand it, mate. I don't understand staying behind mine 2 hours to give people shit, but, you know, like, did he do anything wrong? Should he have done? Should he know better? Like, is it just an emotional?
Hey, he's a human being. He's a human being, mate. We've all got emotions. All react differently. But should he have done it? Should he have done it? No. Is it a big thing? No. No. If a grown man and loads of people are getting abused, he's reacted. He's not a robot. He's obviously going through a bad time because, you know, he's. Supposedly the Yorkshire Pearl, but yeah, he's having a shock of me, and he's just obviously won't be there long. He'll move on, and hopefully he can get to home where he can get back to where he was performing like he was at Leeds, because he's doing well there. But yeah, since this is what happens, mate. What happens when you go to a big club? And you're not, and you're with big fish, and you don't perform, and you don't adapt. You get left out in the cold, and then, you know, 2 years later, you know, you're not really playing your football. And that's what's happening with this fella now. So hopefully he gets a move that he wants in the summer, just get back on track. But it's nothing, is it? It's nothing. But we live in a world where people are soft. Looking for reactions, then claim victim. Yeah, it's all bollocks.
It's embarrassing, mate, isn't it? Like, that's what it is. Is people are looking for a reaction, and then when they get the reaction,
yeah,
it's suddenly like this big thing. I was just like, Jesus Christ, grow up, like, you know.
Yeah, it happens, mate. You know, it happened to me. You know, I'm in a nightclub, people want to get me reaction, Yeah, you got reaction, you get knocked out and you're on the floor. But unfortunately, I ended up going to prison for it. But yeah, you know, but we live and we learn. It was a long time ago. But yeah, it happens. You just learn from it. But you know, it's not a massive issue. You just give them a bird, and that's it. After giving, hurling abuse, we don't know what it was said, but it probably wasn't nice for them to react.
Yeah, you call them useless and the rest of it, basically.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, just embarrassing, mate. On the game, that a cracking game that was, West Ham versus Newcastle. Like, Newcastle have kind of seemed to have faded away a little bit, haven't they? This is like, obviously, they had Champions League football for the first time in a very long time. Do you think that's affected them? Obviously, they lost Tonali, who was a big part of their midfield, to the ban. And they just, like, they've been all right, Newcastle. They've done pretty well. But they're not going to get Champions League football. They're not really in the race for Champions League football.
They've had a lot of injuries, then, aren't they? A lot. I've seen a list of injuries they've had. They've had a lot of injuries. So, you know, yeah, it's just unfortunate. This is what happens when you're in big competitions and you're playing 2-3 games a week. You have to have big squads and you have to be able to manage that. If you don't, your players will pick up injuries. You know? So, lack of experience, I don't know. Unlucky, I don't know. But, you know, this is another problem you've got to get with being successful. You have to manage all these things.
Do you think Eddie Howe is definitely safe in the summer?
Oh, I think he should be. But, you know, you never know. You never know. These people have got an endless pit of dough and they want the best of the best. But I would should think they would give him, they would give him at least the start of the season.
You'd like to think so, wouldn't you? But like we saw with City, mate, when they took over, you just never know how patient they're going to be, like, because they have got so much money, and it's almost like a case of, do they wait or do they just go, nah, do you know what? We won the best of the best. Sorry, mate, you had your chance. You haven't done it. And they kind of go from there. And you just never know. Like, I would imagine, what are they in the table, Newcastle? They're eighth. If they finish eighth, I think that those owners will not be happy with that. I don't think they will. Regardless of injuries and everything else, I believe that they won't be happy with that finish. It might
be about seventh.
Even that, mate, it's difficult, mate.
It's still a bit surprised everyone, hasn't it?
Yeah, it is. I don't know, mate.
They've upset the apple cart of the so-called top six. Well, mind you, Chelsea are not even there, so they wouldn't even
Chelsea.
Tottenham and yeah. So what is it? The top six? Yes, and Chelsea not even in it. So Newcastle make it top seven now. I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it?
It's like what should they be expecting? You know, what should fans be expecting from these clubs now? Because there's so many of those clubs that I look at outside of Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, right? You've got Villa, Tottenham, United, West Ham, Newcastle, Chelsea all the way down in 11th. Like, what should fans of these clubs be expecting? Where should they be expecting their teams to finish? Because the financial fair play aspect, the different things, like, it all kind of contributes, and I'm just not entirely sure, like, where United should be aiming for in terms of the short term. I understand that in the long term they want to get back to challenging for championships, but, like, would you sacrifice being in the Champions League for the next two seasons if it meant after those two seasons you were back to challenge him for the title and the rest of it?
Say that again.
Would you sacrifice no Champions League football for United, like nowhere near it, for the next two seasons if it meant third season you'd be challenging for the title?
No.
And this is the thing, isn't it? So, like, when
this year, then you can, you know, put it to bed. But next year, you should be in the top four. This is Man United side.
No, I'm not disputing that. What I'm asking is,
it's not Newcastle. It's not Chelsea. But they're not what
they used to be, because it's been so bad.
Still a juggernaut paying massive fees for big players. So if they get that right, which they will eventually.
Yeah, and I mean...
Other teams can't do that. No, yeah, people argue, say, well, Chelsea have done it, but...
Chelsea's wild
spending. Newcastle seems to be going the other way, where they're doing it slowly, methodically, which is the right way to go, because they've obviously learned from City. Chelsea just come in and just start going wild. United, they're going to get it right, because they're getting the right people put in place, brick by brick. So they will get it right.
Incidentally, United have been linked today with, or they've made an approach, I think, for Jason Wilcox, who I had said a couple of weeks back to you that I did, they were knocking about. Like, and I got to say, if United get Jason Wilcox within, you know, the structure that they're already putting in place, like with Dan Ashworth and Berardo and all these people, that is a absolutely top quality signing in terms of the off the field structure. It really is. Like, if I was at another Premier League club, I would be starting to worry about what United are putting together off the pitch, regardless of, you know, they can all like laugh at United now for their performances and this, that and the other, and they can take the piss out of Anthony and, you know, whatever that rival fans are always going to do. But what I would say is United off the field are making moves that, in my opinion, will set them up for the long term in a big way. And I think that is something that other clubs should fear, because if they get that right and then they get the manager right, they, you know, they generate their own money. So they're less tied by financial constraints than other clubs, which makes it... just makes it very interesting, mate. I got to say, United are almost like a wild card in the opposite way to what Chelsea are.
Yeah, we talked like 20 minutes of United.
I know. We ended up back on them. But the question I was asking, mate, I guess, is what should Aston Villa, Tottenham, West Ham, Newcastle, Chelsea, what should their aims be realistically for the rest of this season and the next?
Just to get better.
Just keep progressing, you think? Like, yeah. For Villa...
Villa finished fourth, then it's going to be difficult for them to finish third, second or first. But that's what they aim for to do. It's going to be difficult because they're in Champions League. You have the same problem that Newcastle have had. The problem, the good thing that Aston Villa have got, they've got an experienced coach, experienced manager who's been in these situations for a long time, playing these games Saturday, Thursday, Wednesday, Saturday, Thursday, Wednesday. So, but you still have to have the quality of players and the quality of squad to be able to perform at the maximum you're coaching. So it'd be difficult for Villa next year if they do get into the Champions League. Yeah, who else do you say? Chelsea?
Yeah. I think Chelsea have got a really good young squad. I do.
Yeah, Chelsea just need to concentrate on it, on just getting a centre-forward. A top-class centre-forward. Because that's all they're lacking at the minute.
I think the consistency with Chelsea will come.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. They've got a good coach. They've bought a load of young players with very good potential. They just need a centre forward.
Ivan Toney, the man for you?
A probably good centre half. What?
Do you think Ivan Toney would be a good move?
Ivan Toney would be very good for Chelsea, yeah. Be very good. Perfect for him.
If you were Ivan Toney, would you go to Chelsea or Arsenal if you had the choice?
I would go to that's a difficult question though.
So I'll give you my opinion just quickly while you have a think about it.
My head's saying Chelsea, but my heart's saying Arsenal.
Interesting. Like, so if I look at it from his point of view, like the short term is almost go to Arsenal because they're competing now. But if I'm him and I look at the Chelsea team and I'm thinking, well, hang on, like you just said, they need a striker, and then look at the players they've got within the squad, which they can then build on over the next 10 years. The problem with Chelsea is always going to be that Todd Bowley's an absolute nutter, and he could just do a madness and sell them all, sack them all, take over the manager as himself. Yeah, so it's a weird one, isn't it? Like, because like I look at the Chelsea player, like, you know, Enzo Fernandez and these types of players, they're so young, but they're so talented, and you just think if when they get it right, it'll click into place. But it's whether is Potts the right man to do it? Is the off the field stuff going to interfere with, you know, like, where's the off the field stuff going to sort of interfere with the on the pitch stuff? Because he, Todd Bowley, no matter what you say, he's a loose cannon, and he has seemed like he just thought, you know what, financial fair play, I don't need to stick to that, and he's just done a madness. But I don't know, I think there's a bit of potential. If I was a Chelsea fan, I would be quietly confident that if we can get a striker in, we'll do all right in the next 5 years. What about Spurs, mate? Where do you see their season ending now? They're fifth at the moment, 3 points behind Villa.
It's all up for it, isn't it? It's all to play for because they've all got difficult fixtures as well, kind of like similar fixtures as well. So, they've got some difficult fixtures. So, but it's good. It's going to go down to the wire anyway.
Yeah, it's fascinating, mate. That is that sort of everything outside the top three is so close that it could literally go to anyone. In terms of,
and then you've got the top three that are close. Yeah. So, yeah,
top three is looking mental.
This is what you want, isn't it? Premier League. Yeah. You don't want it done by 2 weeks or just a one horse race. You want multiple teams in it. Hopefully, that one or two others can join the race next year and be a bit more tighter. But,
anything you saw on the weekend change your opinion about Man City winning the league? Like, do you sort of lean more towards like Liverpool or Arsenal, or do you still think City?
I lean more towards Arsenal, to be honest.
Okay.
If they did have Ivan Toney, they would win the league this year.
Interesting.
If he started as an Arsenal player this year, they would have won the league.
That's fascinating to me, that is, because they've been so heavily linked with him. They were even linked with him making a move for him in January. And at one point, it looked like it might happen.
Yeah, if he was on their books now, they would win the league. They would have won that game yesterday.
Yeah, that's what they lack in it, is like an out-and-out number nine. And I think, like we've rightly said a few weeks ago, that they've done it without a number nine, and they've done it well, and they deserve credit for that. Like, the way they've played has been quite impressive. But now, like in a game like that, in the big games, it's very, very difficult to play without a number nine, I think. And like you just said, if they'd had a Toney or someone like that, they probably would have got over the line against City yesterday.
Arsenal could get away because they've got willing runners all over the pitch. So they've got legs all over the pitch. Don't carry anyone. You know, Havertz is mobile, Saka's mobile. Odegaard's mobile. Who else is there? You know, they're all very mobile there, aren't they? So they can get away with it. They haven't got a Casemiro or someone who's not as mobile.
Yeah. Right, mate. Obviously, it's a pre-recorded show, but we'll do predictions for the Premier League games, which are on Saturday. because we don't know what the Super Six games are going to be, basically. So first up, we've got Crystal Palace at home to Manchester City.
Two nil City.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a 3-0 City there, I think. Aston Villa at home to Brentford.
2-1 Brentford.
Ooh. I'm going to go 1-0 Aston Villa. Everton at home to Burnley. Oof, that's a big
2-1
Everton. I'm going to go 1-1 there. 1-1 Fulham at home to Newcastle.
3-0 Fulham.
3-0 Fulham. Woof. I'm going to go with a 2-2 Sit on the fence a bit there. Luton at home to Bournemouth.
1-0 Luton.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 2-1 Luton. Wolves versus West Ham.
I'm going to go 1-1
I will go 2-1 West Ham there. Brighton at home. Brighton Arsenal. Oof.
2-1 Arsenal.
3-1 Arsenal for me. I fancy Arsenal there. Arsenal just seem to have the momentum to I don't know. They just seem to be getting it going at the right time.
2-1 Arsenal.
Manchester United, Liverpool.
2-1 Liverpool.
I'm going to go...
In fact, no, I'm going to go 4-1 Liverpool. I think they're going to get fucking battered.
Yeah, I think Liverpool are going to win quite comfortably.
So 4-1. Sheffield United, Chelsea. I'm going to go 1-0 1-0 Sheffield United.
Interesting. I'm going to go with 2-1 to Chelsea there.
Forest, 2-0 Brendan Johnson, Son.
Going to ruin it for his old team, is he?
Yeah.
I'll go Tottenham 3-1. And that's your fixtures for the weekend. Just for the fun of it, Cardiff City will play Hull City on Saturday at Cardiff City, mate. What do you think the score will be?
2-0 Bluebirds.
Come on, a City.
It was 1-1 Hull City. Leeds.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. Interesting indeed, mate. That is big games in the Championship. Championship is hotting up. We will we'll have a good look at the Championship next week when we do the live show. We'll have a little delve. We haven't had a good look at the Championship for a while.
We'll
get
started. Wait there, 1 minute. I just need to check something out for the viewers so they're up to date and they need to know where Leeds standing is.
You're breaking up, mate, unfortunately.
Yeah. So I'm 23rd, so I've gone up another two places. So 377 I'm up. And sign, well, it just take me a bit to go down. 322. So you're only 57 behind, so. And have you gone up? Have you gone down? No, you've just stayed equal. So 61st, Si. I am 23rd. I could get in the top 10. By the end of the season, I'll be in the top 10.
Okay.
Yeah. And
beautiful.
Yeah, now I've really like took it serious and not just like done it in like 30 seconds. We've seen the results. So I'll be doing that from now on.
So for two seasons you didn't take it seriously, but now you are.
Well, just 30 seconds is boss. Now I'm taking details. I'm doing my homework. And we see the results.
I see. Excellent. Well, I'm glad that that's the case for you. Congratulations. It's embarrassing, mate. It's embarrassing. Here he is. As always, mate, it's a pleasure. We'll be back to live next Thursday. Spread the word. We should have a hopefully have a new sponsor soon as well, so make sure you keep a lookout for that. Anything to add?
Peace.
Have a good holiday, mate, and I will see you.
Yeah, I'll be tanned next week.
I might not, you might not be with me though, will it? You might be with Rob. We'll see how we go though. You can tell him all about your super sex.
Yeah, sweet.
Right, nice one, mate. Have a good holiday. I will we'll see you soon.
All right, mate, see you
there. In a bit.
Sports Social Podcast Network.